scriptures to read. Then there'll be another announcement that I would like to make. First scripture is Mark 1, verse 40 through 42. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. For somebody who doesn't know, on our Thursday night service, I have a young lady who is 26 years of age. She has a gene deformity, and there's only two in the state of Ohio. One is 28, and she is 26 years of age. It causes major seizures, where all four of her limbs shake violently, constantly. We've been praying for her since, I believe it was September, wasn't it, Greg? Off and on. And the doctors have now said, at Children's Hospital, there's nothing more that medical science could do. They wanted me to sign a DNR. Well, I couldn't do that on my own. I asked for God's help, then I went to the court. The court has authorized the hospital to put her in hospice. I would just like the congregation to pray for her, that this young lady is at peace with God and she can do no more suffering that she has for the past. Thank you.
I have the stool because this is getting a little bit more informal than what we might see on a typical Sunday morning. I had asked for questions, and this was one of the first ones that I had received, and it was posed this way, and I'm just going to read it verbatim. We pray for a miracle and probably expect. No, expect things restored as before. We know this isn't the case. So we pray. We so want the miracle, but we also realize we may not get what we expect. And this next statement is so true. So we do not pray for miracles, but we play it safe and request God's will be done. How does God decide miracles? Does he weigh the family strengths? What may he take into consideration for granting a miracle? I do believe things happen for a reason, can take a long time before we understand why. Perhaps not until we have a chance to ask him personally. I thought, man, what a great question. The Bible is filled with miracles. In the beginning, God created. It was a miracle. He created life. He created everything around us. He created man. What a miracle there. And sometimes we look at other people and say, man, why did God create them? What was he thinking? Or was he thinking when he created Hitler? Was he thinking when he created some of the people on the earth? And so I thought, we've all wondered about miracles, and we've all wondered about things that happen, and why are some miracles granted and why are some not? And I thought about, and just recently another situation came up, but about a year ago, a young man in Westchester, he saw a lot of stuff on the news and everything, Kyler Strong. I think he was maybe 11, 12, 13, not sure what it was. Ended up with cancer, died. Such a young age. And then I had the, I guess, privilege in a way of going to a, well, I don't know if it was a privilege to go to a Reds game, but I had the privilege of being at a Reds game when the little boy, you've probably seen his name, Super Buds, he was probably about that tall. I think he wore the Superman cape. Excuse my emotion. But he was sitting right behind the Cincinnati Reds batting circle, and started interacting with Joey Votto. He gave him a piece of candy or a piece of gum. I don't remember what it was. And Votto immediately unwrapped it and put it in his mouth. I'm sure there was a big smile on that little boy's face. A little bit later on in the game, he took him a baseball. And he went over and said something to him. Came up to bat and hit a home run. Took him to bat. I thought, man, that's a miracle in itself, that someone would stop, that's making what he's making, millions of dollars a year, and spend time with a little boy. But he didn't stop there. He went in and changed his game jersey. Gave him his game jersey. Two little boys, and then there's just been a recent 15-year-old in Westchester, a young boy by the name of Strothman that played soccer and then, in essence, had a stroke. And he passed away. And I thought, why are some people healed? And why others are not? Todd and Tiffany's nephew, Dominique, we prayed for him because he had breathing problems when he was young. The little guy doesn't stop running. He doesn't slow down for anything. And so I thought, man, what a question. And I thought, well, what is a miracle? Someone said it's an extraordinary event manifesting divine intervention in human affairs. And it says the healing miracles described in the gospel, but there are miracles far beyond healing. But sometimes we just look at that. And I thought, well, what's a biblical definition? Because I always think we need to go to the Bible for a solution to a problem. So miracles are those acts that only God can perform. It said usually superseding natural laws, and I drew a red line through usually and put always. Baker's Bible Dictionary defines a miracle as an event in the external world brought about by the immediate agency or the simple volition of God. And it goes on to add that a miracle occurs to show that power behind it is not limited to the laws of matter or mind. It interprets fixed natural laws so that the term supernatural applies quite accurately. Someone has said that we take our natural and put God's super with it, and that's what supernatural is. And I thought, I'm going to take a look at the concordance and see what Bibles say about miracles. And so the ones that I've got a New American Standard, had four references to miracles. The King James Version, it was the Kenneth Copeland Version, and he's a faith teacher if you're familiar with the name. 18 references to miracles. The New King James Version, the David Jeremiah translation or study notes, had 7. Holman Christian Standard Bible, it's an apologetics version I have 2, and the New Living Translation, 21. And so I'm going to preface my comments by saying I do believe that miracles happen. We stop and look at each other and we can think, man, you are a miracle. I'm a miracle. And I don't necessarily agree with Chuck Swindoll that said if they happened every day, they would be regulars. I don't agree with that. That might be what he calls them. But the God of yesterday, if he is the same as the God of today, still performs miracles. Still does the supernatural. Still does the extraordinary. Still does the things beyond what we could ever think, whatever we could ever believe. So where are they? We see them happening at an alarming rate. Tom read about one. The Old Testament used terms like mighty acts or signs. Jeremiah 21:19 says, "O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great are you in counsel and mighty indeed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, to reward and repay each one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds." And we look at that and we think, well, what do they mean by the fruit of his deeds? And it means what he does. And I look and think about the Old Testament and the fact that the Israelite children got out of Egypt is a miracle. The fact that the Red Sea was parted was a miracle. The fact that Daniel survived the lion's den is a miracle. The fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got out of the fiery furnace is a miracle. Miracle after miracle after miracle that we see in the Old Testament. And we see lots of them in the New Testament. But what's happened in 2018? What happened last year? Which I think is the point of the question. In Mark that Tom read, we have a leper coming to Jesus. And the leper says to Jesus, "If you are willing, you can heal me." He came with all the faith in the world because he knew Jesus could do it. But he said, "If you're willing." And Jesus was always willing to perform a miracle, always willing to touch someone's life, always willing to do something to help a people. So where's the issue at? And so we look at this and we think about it and we think, man, if it could happen to this guy, why doesn't it happen to Super Buds? Now, I'm sure there were people that we're going to share a little bit about one in a minute that the disciples came upon and they couldn't heal. But the interesting thing there that when he says, "If you're willing," Jesus says, "I am willing." Two elements of faith there that I think are important. One is that he came in faith. The second was nothing happened until Jesus spoke. Because he said, "I am willing." And the Bible goes on to say that he immediately was healed of leprosy. And to those who are familiar with leprosy, and Chris could probably tell us a lot about it, but it is a debilitating disease, and you are considered unclean and you couldn't associate with anyone with that disease. And so it became to me the power of the tongue, which is so important and so impressive to me. James in chapter 4, verse 2 says, "You want things, but you do not have them. So you are ready to kill and are jealous of other people, but you still cannot get what you want. So you argue and you fight." But here is what I think hits the nail on the head. You do not get what you want because you do not ask God. And then Paul wrote in Philippians, he said, "Oh, my God will supply your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And then again in James, "Therefore confess your sins one to another and pray for each other so that you may be healed, that the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective." Are we not righteous when we pray? Is there something in maybe our relationship that might be interfering with what God wants to do in a person's life? And so I looked at Mark chapter 9, verses, I just want to share this with you. It's 14 through 29, but I think it's something that will show us this whole idea about miracles. He said, "When they returned to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd surrounding them, and some teachers of religious law were arguing with them. When the crowd saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with awe, and they ran to greet him." "What is all this arguing about?" Jesus asked. One of the men in the crowd spoke up and said, "Teacher, I brought my son to heal him. He is possessed with an evil spirit that won't let him talk. And whenever the spirit seizes him, it throws him violently to the ground. Then he foams at the mouth and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I ask your disciples to cast out the evil spirit, but they can't do it." Jesus said to them, "You faithless people, how long must I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So Jesus brought the boy, but when the evil spirit saw Jesus, it threw him into a violent convulsion, and he fell to the ground, writhing and foaming at the mouth. "How long has this been happening?" Jesus asked the boy's father. "Since he was a little boy," he replied. "The spirit often throws him into the fire, into the water, trying to kill him. Have mercy on us and help us if you can." And Jesus said, "What do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes." The father instantly cried out, "I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that the crowd of onlookers was growing, he rebuked the evil spirit. "Listen, you spirit that makes this boy unable to hear and speak," he said, "I command you to come out of this child and never enter him again." Then the spirit screamed and threw the boy into a violent convulsion and left him. The boy appeared to be dead. A murmur ran through the crowd as the people said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, helped him to his feet, and he stood up. Afterward, when Jesus was alone in the house with the disciples, they asked him, "Why couldn't we cast out the evil spirit?" Jesus replied, This kind can be cast out only by prayer. That's the New Living Translation version. Some of them say by prayer and fasting. What's fasting? Well, it's going without something. And some of us just don't want to go without things. And I think that's what he's saying to us here. It's interesting that this man said, "Help my unbelief." We can believe that God will do something, or we can believe that God can do something. But the question comes up is, will he do it? I know he can because I saw he healed the leper. He healed this boy, and I thank you, Tom, for sharing that story. What I think he's saying here is, We got to get serious. When that father went to Jesus, it was not on something he needed, but it was on behalf of his son. Nothing concerns us more than our children. I think it has helped my unbelief. You know, I think you can do this, God. You know, and I know you've done it to other people, but will you do it in this situation? Will you help me with my next mortgage payment? Will you help me get a decent vehicle to drive? Will you help me pay my gift to the church? Will you help me do this? And the answer that really comes from the heart is sometimes unbelief, because I'm not sure that he can. I think he wants us to be vigilant, believe, but sometimes we have to sacrifice something. Sometimes we have to fast. Sometimes we have to give something up. And the premise here that we saw was Jesus was trying to teach this man that he not only needed faith to believe, but he needed faith to receive. He needed faith to accept. And so what the man was saying was, help my unbelief. And Jesus was more than willing to help. But the man had to come overcome that belief. And I think that's the key to what seeing miracles happen today is that, you know, we pray for them and we believe, and then when something happens, we either don't give God thanks for it, maybe don't say thank you, God. We just kind of let it pass. It's not to disparage that question, you know, that I believe God for a miracle, but God does do miracles. He does them by faith and he does them by belief, and we are to expect what we ask for. So I think that ties into the portion of the question that centers around God's will. His will stated in, where'd it go? I laid it over there. His will stated in his Bible, in the word that he gave us. We a lot of times pray for God's will in our lives, but all we got to do is just find it. So if he healed a leper, why wouldn't he heal somebody else? If he helped someone else, if they helped the widow that took the last bit of grain and oil that we had to feed Elijah, why wouldn't he do it today? If he is the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I think we can believe that he was the same God yesterday. And for the Christian, we can believe he's the same God tomorrow, because he says, save me and forgiven me and I'm going to heaven. But what about today? I need this today. And so, you know, I think that's part of that question. And I think the fact that we just, you know, when we look at God's will, we need to know what his will is. I wrote down here, I said, a question might be asked, why pray if we do not think it will happen? And I think that's part, maybe the question behind the question from today is, why do we pray if we don't think something's going to happen? If we struggle with that unbelief, and we all do, there's all things that come into our lives that we struggle with it. So we pray, and I like the way the question was posed. So we possibly expect, probably expect, if we ask in faith, we may get it sometimes. Sometimes it takes more than that. Sometimes it takes some prayer, deeper prayer. Sometimes it takes some fasting. He still does do things, but he doesn't do everything that we ask. And I wished I had the answer. Because if I had the answer to that question, I could probably be sitting in Washington Cathedral. And that's not because you're stuck with me, because I don't have an answer. I just don't know why. The principle is, I believe, to pray in faith. If it's Lord, help my unbelief, He will help our unbelief. And then it's let God do the work. Sometimes He's going to say, you need to go speak a word of healing to someone. You need to go speak a word of, and I know this is scary. You may need to go speak a word of prophecy over someone. You may not be a prophet, but the Lord can give you a word to give to people. He may want you to go give a word of wisdom to someone. But there's something about what Jesus did when He healed the leper. It said, nothing happened until He spoke. And I think that's interesting, because a lot of what we have to do is we have to speak His word. It said, faith comes by hearing. And then we speak what we hear, and it builds up our faith. As I look at Kyler Strong and I look at Superbuds, and I think something that part of what's posed in the question is, we may not know until we are able to ask Him personally, why did this happen? Why didn't you intercede? And I think of that, and I think, man, they're experiencing their miracle today in paradise with a thief who hung next to Jesus. When we lose a loved one and they're a Christ follower, we know we'll see them sometime, and they're not hurting. We hurt for them. And that's a kind of a selfish way, and I'll be honest with you, it's kind of selfish on my part. But we're all a little that away. 1 Corinthians 12 says, now you are collectively are Christ's body, and individually you are members of it. This was from the Amplified, and in parentheses it says, each with his own special purpose and function. So God has appointed and placed in the church for His own use, first apostles, chosen by Christ, second prophets, those who foretell the future, those who speak a new message from God to the people, third teachers, then those who work miracles, then those with the gift of healing, the helpers, the administrators, and speakers in various kinds of unknown tongues. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Are we all workers of miracles? Do we all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But he says, earnestly desire and strive for the greater gifts, if acquiring them is going to be your goal. And yet I will show you still a more excellent way. One of the choicest graces and highest fulfillment of them all, unselfish love. Gifts, miracles are for the edification of the church. They're not for personal edification. If we pray for someone and think we heal them, we miss the boat. If we pray for someone and think God heals them, then we're in the boat. Galatians says, so then does He who supplies with you His marvelous Holy Spirit and works miracles among you do it because you believe confidently in the message which you have heard in faith. So He answers prayer and performs miracles and does things beyond what we could ever imagine in the supernatural. because of our faith. Goes on to say, just as Abraham believed God and was credited to him as righteousness, as conformity to God's will and purpose, so it is with you also. So understand that it is the people who live by faith, it is with confidence in the power and goodness of God, who are sons of Abraham. Abraham, as you know, lied more than once. And yet he was a child of God. David committed several sins involved with one thing, and yet the Bible said that David was a man after God's own heart. All miracles are a result of faith. The action leading up to a miracle, which is prayer, ultimately will bring it to pass. The miracle might be someone finding Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. To me, that's the greatest miracle there ever was. How does God decide in miracles? I don't think it's God decides. I'm going out on a limb and the saw's over here. I think we decide. You ask God for something and you do not receive it because you act with wrong motives, out of selfish or out of an unrighteous agenda. So that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your own pleasures or desires. I believe a lot of times we pray with the wrong motive. Sometimes we pray in unbelief. Sometimes we don't think. But I do believe God performs miracles. How he picks who's going to get the miracle is beyond me. Because I know many prayers were prayed by people of greater faith than me. Some have been answered, and some haven't. But I know that we have a better chance of seeing things happen when we pray in faith, overcome our unbelief, and sometimes, as the Bible said, we have to pray and fast. We have to get serious. I believe God leads us to ask for prayers for any need that we have, for anything that's in our lives, for any issues that are there. And over the next several weeks, I'm going to put together some scripture. And we're going to send them out to you for needs of finances, for needs of healing, for needs of addictions. That people that you meet, people that you share with, somebody might just come to you and say, hey, I got a problem. I need somebody to talk to. We did the lay plaster class that taught us how to deal with some of those things. And we have five people in the church that have been through that. We had a situation come up in the last 15 days, and someone shared with me a voice message last evening about using some of those skills to deal with a situation that they were in. And I'm not going to get into the details, nor am I going to get into who was involved with it. But there are people here that are equipped to help people. And so sometimes if we get to a situation that we're a little over our head, and I not long ago recommended somebody needed to call somebody that had far more expertise in something than I did, and it's not a problem. But when we get there, we need to find people that can help us. And sometimes, you know, we need to just reach out and say, I need somebody. And so sometimes it's not unbelief, that's just being equipped. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the miracles that you work in our lives, and sometimes we wish we could just understand why there are miracles that you don't work. There are things that we pray for, things that we believe that you'll do, And we don't have unbelief, we have belief. But yet, they're unanswered. Help us, Father, with our understanding. Help us to see you. And help us to get a better grasp of your will through your word in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention that we have a special guest in the nursery. If you get a chance, stop by and say hi to Robin.